tell you. Real life isn't a story. There isn't some kind of magic that keeps you safe and makes crooks look the other way and not hit you too hard and tie you up next to a handy knife and not kill you. Do you understand? There was some more dark silence. My granny and my great-aunt were very famous storytellers, you know, said Melissa eventually, in a strained little voice. Agonista und Evisera Grimm.
You said, said Keith.
My mother would have been a good storyteller too, but my father doesn't like stories. That's why I've changed my name to Grimm for professional purposes.
Really?
I used to get beaten when I was small for telling stories, Melissa went on.
Beaten,
said Keith.
All right then, schmacked, said Melissa. On the leg.
But it did hurt. My father says you can't run a city on stories. He says you have to be practical.
Oh.
Aren't you interested in anything except music? He broke your pipe.
I expect I'll buy another one.
The calm voice infuriated Melissa. Well, I'll tell you something, she said. If you don't turn your life into a story, you just become part of someone else's story.
And what if your story doesn't work?
You keep changing it until you find one that does.
Sounds silly.
Ha! Look at you. You're just a face in someone else's background. You let a cat make all the decisions.
That's because Morris is...
A voice said, would you like us to go away until you stop being human?
Morris, said Keith, is that you? Where are you?
I'm in a drain, and believe me, this has not been a good night. Do you know how many old cellars there are here? Good job you two kept arguing, said the voice of Morris in the blackness. Peaches is bringing a candle in. It's too dark even for me to see you.
Who's Peaches? Whispered Melissa.
She's another changeling, a thinking rat, said Keith.
Like pilchards?
Like sardines, yes.
Aha, hissed Melissa. See, a story. I am smug, I gloat. The plucky rats rescue our heroes, probably by gnawing through the ropes.
Oh, we're back in your story, are we? Said Keith. And what am I in your story?
I know it's not going to be a romantic interest, said Melissa. And you're not funny enough for comic relief. I don't know. Probably just someone. You know, like man in street. Something like that. There were faint sounds in the darkness. What are they doing now? She whispered.
Trying to light their candle, I think.
Rats play with fire? Melissa hissed.
They don't play. Dangerous Beans thinks lights and shadows are very important. They always have a candle alight somewhere in their tunnels, wherever they...
Dangerous Beans? What sort of name is that?
Shh! They just learned words off old food tins and signs and things. They didn't know what the words meant. They just chose them because they liked the sounds.
Yes, but Dangerous Beans? It sounds as if he makes you...
It's his name. Don't make fun of it.
Sorry, I'm sure, said Melissa. The match flared. The candle flame grew. Melissa looked down at two rats. One was, well, just a small rat, although sleeker than most of the ones she'd seen. In fact, most of the ones she'd seen had been dead, but even the living ones had always been twitchy, nervy, sniffing the air all the time. This one just watched. It stared right at her. The other rat was white and even smaller. It was also watching her, although peering was a better word. It had pink eyes. Melissa had never been very interested in other people's feelings, since she'd always considered that her own were a lot more interesting. But there was something sad and worrying about that rat. It was dragging a small book, or at least what would be a small book to a human. It was about half the size of a rat. The cover was quite colourful, but Melissa couldn't make out what it was.
"Peaches and Dangerous Beans," said Keith. "This is Melissa. Her father is the mayor here."
"Hello," said Dangerous Beans.
"Mayor? Isn't that like government?" said Peaches. "Morris says governments are very dangerous criminals and steal money from people."
"How did you teach them to speak?" said Melissa.
"They taught themselves," said Keith. "They're not trained animals, you know."
"Well, my father does not steal from anyone.
Who taught them that governments are very... Excuse me, said Morris's voice hurriedly.